Please see page 7 for all the information. And see page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. Please stand and join in prayer and song.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus. Is the scepter, is the throne. Alleluia, is the triumph, is the victory alone. Hark the songs of peaceful Zion, thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus out of every nation hath redeemed us by his blood. Alleluia, King eternal, be the Lord of lords we own. Alleluia, born of Mary, earth thy footstool, heaven thy throne. Thou within the veil hast entered, robed in flesh, our great high priest. Thou on earth both priest and victim, in the Eucharistic feast. Alleluia, alleluia, glory be to God on high. Alleluia to the Savior who has won the victory. Alleluia to the Spirit, font of love and sanctity. Alleluia, alleluia to the triune majesty.
The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Greetings to our brothers and sisters with us in their homes. It is always an honor for you to join us as together we worship our Lord and hear his word. Well, yesterday, last week, was the feast of the Holy Trinity. And today is the feast of the body and blood of Christ. It's said sometimes that every Sunday is Easter. That's true, because we're always celebrating the resurrection here. Could it be said that every Sunday is Trinity Sunday? Hey, do we ever worship the dynamic duo? Every Sunday is legitimately Holy Trinity Sunday. Couldn't we say that every Sunday is the feast of the body and the blood of Christ? Is there a Sunday that we do not have that as a central part of our worship? Then what's so special about today? Well, in some ways, nothing. Except that it's a time to focus on an aspect of the treasure that sometimes we're distracted from because of everything else there is to see. I like to say that the church year is like different perspectives on the facet of a diamond. What is it, the Hope Diamond? The Star of India that's part of the crown jewels in London? I've seen them a number of times. It's fascinating. It seems like they're big as a baseball, and they look different from different angles. You just can't take it all in. And That's what our faith is. God has been too good to us. There's so many aspects of His goodness. We take them sometimes, His birth, His resurrection, revelation as Father, Son, and Spirit, the special gift we have here, so that we can come to a better understanding of different aspects of our faith. So today we ask the Lord to help us to see in a deeper way the wonderful gift of His body and His blood. And we begin as we always do, knowing that we are sinners coming into the presence of a holy God. So we need to prepare ourselves by faith and repentance. We ask the Lord to anoint our conscience, to let us see our sins, so truly we might fly to the throne of grace, to cry out for the mercy and the help we need. Father, for the times that we have not loved You with our whole heart, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, for the times that we have come here and with distraction, with casualness, with lack of preparation, received Your most holy gift, Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, enkindle in us the fire of God's love. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God forgive us our sins and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship You, we give You thanks, we praise You for Your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. For You alone are the Holy One, You alone are the Lord, You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship You living among us in the sacrament of Your body and blood. May we offer to our Father in heaven a solemn pledge of undivided love. May we offer to our brothers and sisters the life poured out in the loving service of that kingdom, where You live with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. When Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered in one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." Moses then wrote down all the words of the Lord, and rising early the next day, he erected at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then, having sent certain young men of the Israelites to offer holocausts and sacrifice young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord, Moses took half of the blood and put it in large bowls. The other half he splashed on the altar. Taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." Then he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words of his." The word of the Lord. The letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal salvation and redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled, so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason, he is mediator of a new covenant. Since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The word of the Lord.
According to Mark.
Lord.
On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city. The man will meet you carrying a water jar. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
My understanding of the great privilege it is as a priest to be part of these holy mysteries, my understanding of the honor that all of us have in doing what it is that we do here, comes in large measure from the places in the Bible where it talks about what happens here. One of those places is the book of Revelation, where it talks a lot about what's going on in heaven. And we believe this is a participation in what is going on there. That's the reality of which we are connected to. And the other primary place is the book of Hebrews, which is what we are reading from now. It's our second reading. It talks in the book of Hebrews about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and then it talks about Jesus taking that sacrifice, literally his blood, up into heaven and presenting it to the Father. The acceptable sacrifice, which then cleanses you and I. This is what the second reading is talking about when it says, when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by human hands, as he entered heaven, he entered once for all into that heavenly sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, not like all the other high priests before him, not with blood that needed to be continually offered again and again, but with his own blood, thus obtaining, the passage says, eternal salvation. It is precisely this sacrifice of Jesus, presented in heaven to the Father, that applies his sacrifice to us. Now, why is this important? Let me ask you this. How would you feel if a bomb exploded while you were here in church? And the person next to you, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, died pulling you out. How would you feel about that? Would you be grateful? Would that be something important? And just suppose that you needed a heart transplant and you got their heart also. In some way, I'm just trying to express the deepest gratitude to another human being that I can think of. Christ did even more than that for us. He died so that we might live, and that we become sons and daughters of the Father. Through him, we have this infusion of divine life, not only his heart, but his very nature. He did this because we needed it, because we couldn't do it for ourselves, and because he loves us more than we love ourselves. Why do we need it? Why do we need Jesus dying on the cross and presenting this perfect sacrifice to the Father, which we believe we participate in here? Because we're sinners. And that's a worse thing than most of us realize. We haven't loved God as he deserves. We've not loved others as God himself has loved us. We forfeit, because of this, God's presence and deserve eternal doom. And even our best intentions and noblest efforts are insufficient for the task. The debt is greater than our ability to pay. So God himself assumes the debt. And he doesn't take it out of his abundance, this price. He gives of his very self.
It's like he spoons out his own heart, his deepest treasure, his only son. Which shows us two things at the same time. First, the horror of our disobedience. And the sufficiency, secondly, the sufficiency of God's mercy. As the second reading also says, how much more will the blood of Christ, and he's talking about those old sacrifices did something in prefigurement for the Jews, but it was all in anticipation of what was to come. How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works? Set us free from the consequences of sin. How much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to worship the living God? We need what Christ did in order to dare what we do here. Touch God. Join the angels and saints in heaven. Not the stuff that unrepentant sinners should dare to do. A covenant, which is what the blood always seals. A covenant completes the deal, and a covenant involves blood. A covenant is just another word for an agreement, a formal agreement. We talk about the marriage covenant. We talk about business covenants or business agreements or contracts, wills. Those are covenants. But those are agreements between equals. This covenant is not that. Ours is a covenant with the Almighty, the Creator Himself, infinite, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient. In the Bible, as I said, these covenants are always ratified by blood, as was the first reading we heard. The law is read, and all the people say, as we should when we hear God's word proclaimed, their response is, with one voice, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. I love that. That was their response. Yes! And then he took the blood and poured it over the altar and then sprinkled the people. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant. Spouses say, I do. Business partners sign contracts. And Christians, those believers in the new covenant established by the blood of the Son of God, eat his body and drink his blood. Jesus says, unless you do this, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. You will not have eternal life. And by doing this, by participating in this covenant, we are participating in the offering of Christ Himself. We participate in this offering as if we were there, not by virtue of simply our physical presence here, but by the active choice of our conscious faith. You can, you know, be with someone who is talking and not hear a word they say. You can run into someone at a party and wish that you hadn't run into them. Those are different ways of being there. Or we can give someone our full attention because we know that it is an honor to do so. If we come here with faith, if we listen to his word with a ready heart. If we desire to give ourselves to God in these mysteries as He first gave Himself to us, then these mysteries are opened to us. And we become part of them. Not spectators watching something outside of themselves, but participants engaged in the most holy of actions. It's a very natural thing to come here and first be aware of our own disposition to receive Christ. That has its place. Perhaps we're distracted. I won't ask for hands. How many were thinking about something else as they came into church today? Perhaps we're well stewed in the juices of guilt or depression. Maybe we're jumping out of our skins in anticipation of the deep joy we'll have in meeting our Savior. Regardless, I think there's something even more important to be aware of here than our disposition to receive Christ, and that is the disposition of Christ to give Himself to us, the disposition of the giver, not the receiver. In this Eucharist, Christ invites us into the reality of His sacrificial love. Not to read about it, not to hear others tell of it, but to know it ourselves, into the experience of what it was that freely led Him to choose that. In the Gospel of Mark we read today, Jesus says, "Take it. This is My body." It is Christ who offers. It is Christ who invites. In all of the Eucharistic prayers, we say at every Mass, we quote Jesus saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it." Again, that invitation. And then, do you recall these words? "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to this supper." Do you experience the call? You're invited. We are invited and we are called. As much as we want to do this, or frankly, even as little, you are invited and you are called. This is food God wants you to have. This is a sacrifice in which you're meant to participate. This is strength and power you need. Take it. This is My body. Take this, all of you, and drink from it. Blessed are those who are called. Precisely so that we might be caught up, participants in this sacrificial love. We receive life poured out. We're invited to consume burning love, to drink cleansing mercy, to leave the food of heaven and earth, and eat and drink what angels can only worship. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about being invited personally to participate in the most profound expression of the love of God in heaven or on earth? Can you say with all of your heart, "Lord, show me in a deeper way how blessed I am, how happy I should be that I am called to this supper. Can we pray, Jesus, give me a greater eagerness to take your precious body. Help me to understand more clearly your invitation to take this precious cup. Because I want to say to Jesus, and I want you to be able to say too, I don't want to miss this great invitation. Nor do I want to respond in vain. I promise you this. You're going to need the strength that is here in order to faithfully do all that you are commanded.